We have heard people share on video and in interview what some of their favourite decorations are, some of their favourite things at Christmas are. If you're new or just visiting with us, we've been looking at this theme, A Light Has Dawned. And genuinely, one thing that I love at Christmas time, apart from Christmas jumpers, of course, are the lights. And maybe you picked up on that in terms of some of the things that they said, or some, and maybe that's some of your favourite decorations as well, whenever you see the lights appear all around you. As the dark nights draw in, we love the light of a fire, maybe not trying to start a bonfire like Josiah, but it's the warmth that we love as well. We love the light of the places that we go, and maybe there's things that you like star. I don't drink tea or coffee, so this doesn't sound like red cups apparently are a thing, or have been a thing. But we love the lights, we love the presence of them. And even around the house, there's so much of a variety that you can get, whether it be fairy lights, LED lights, berry lights, Christmas curtain lights, Christmas window lights, Christmas figure lights, Christmas icicle lights, Christmas candles, cable lights, and the list could go on. Now, give me your hands up. Do you only decorate the inside of your house? Are you someone who only decorates the inside? Yeah, give me your hands up. You decorate the outside? Okay, good mixture. In honor of Christmas lights in general, we're going to do a quiz. I'm going to show you a picture from a movie. You have to tell me what movie it is. Okay? What movie is this? Home Alone 2 is the correct answer. It's not Deck the Halls. I did hear that. The hands went down there. Anyone else want to hazard a guess? It is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. This one is? It's a hard one, isn't it? What is it? Christmas with the Cranks? Yeah? That one. Next one. Deck the Halls is correct. And last one, just because you found a tree in it. Harry Potter. Lights seem rather important at Christmas. And actually makes sense whenever we see the lights that are talked about in the Bible. Let me read this verse from Matthew chapter 2. And behold, the star. The star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Again, I don't know if you picked up on that. Whenever that video was shown of what's their favourite Christmas decoration, lots of people said the star on top of the tree. And if our Christmas lights can help remind us of the Christmas story, you can know that the star on top of the tree is to point us to the true Christmas story. This star that the wise men followed. So we're thinking this morning about how a light has dawned in the neighbourhood. That's exactly what this star did. It shone brightly for all to see. But actually there was one group of people who really sat up and paid attention to what was going on. I've been reading an Alistair Begg Advent devotional during the month of December, and this is what he said when talking about the wise men. They are called magi in some translations, which indicates they studied the movements of the stars. But they weren't simply astronomers or astrologers. Rather, they studied the night sky and made theological deductions based on what they found. They were, in a sense, theological scientists. They were serious souls in pursuit of truth. And they desired to see where the evidence they discovered might lead. Confronted by a sign of God's activity in the world, they set out on an arduous journey in search of the truth. And so they would have known that this star was different. Actually, this star that has been facing us and standing out to us every week. They follow this starlight, and when they arrive where the star is rested over, well, it's acting like a spotlight. And it makes sense when they walk in and they're led to Jesus, and what's their response? They fall down and they worship him, a baby. So we see this light in the neighborhood, this starlight in the neighborhood from Matthew's account. But let me read from Luke's account. Now, before I do, you're going to have to pay attention because you'll have a part to play. Whenever I say good news, the left-hand side, you guys are going to do a thumbs up and say, yes! As enthusiastic as that, that's what I'm looking for. Okay. So, good news!
Yes!
Sorry. You guys are getting ahead of yourselves. This side, right? You just have a different thing, right? So, you guys are yes. You guys, right? Whenever I say great joy, you're going to go, great joy! Woo! Right? So, we'll try this. Good news! Great joy.
Woo!
You're lovely. And then you, whenever you hear all the people, you're going to start doing finger guns and pointing to as many people as you can. Go, psh, 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 psh. Right? So all the people.
All
Brilliant. And the right side, whenever I say baby, you don't need to sing to me or anything like that. You need to rock the baby, okay? So simply, baby. Oh, that's good. And then whenever I say glory to God, and you need to pay attention because there is a bit that talks about the glory of the Lord shining. It's not that part. Whenever I say glory to God, you're all going to go, glory! Right? So let's try that. Glory to God!
Glory!
Yeah, very good. Right, okay, here we go. You need to pay attention. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field watching over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news." Yes. We even practiced it, guys. Right. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news."
Yes.
Of great joy.
Woo.
That will be for all the people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God." Okay. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God."
Glory.
It's a bit better. It'll do. "In the highest and on earth, peace among with him with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, that means they went quickly, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. We've seen the starlight in the neighborhood. But I don't know if you realize who appears, you know, who brought the good news. Yes, of great joy. Woo! It's for all the people that's found in a baby. These shepherds are out in the fields, and suddenly who appears but an angel? I don't know if you picked up on this, but there's another light that shines. It says in verse 9 that the glory of the Lord shone. Some people describe it as the bright light that surrounds the presence of God himself was there. You've got the starlight, you've got this light shining as if the glory of God. And actually, that's not even the real focus of this story, which is incredible. See, people talk about, you know, you maybe heard that saying about light being at the end of a tunnel, or how light is the thing that we need to be rescued from bad places that we find ourselves. And with Jesus, this baby, he's coming to do a job in the world, to save, to rescue people from danger and trouble. Now notice who the angel is speaking to. It's the shepherds. Shepherds know what a savior is. They're used to having to save their sheep. Check out this video. Sheep know what it is to need a saviour. The shepherds would have got that. The sheep need help again and again. And judging from this video, it would have been again and again and again. They couldn't get out without the shepherd. A rescuer is needed whenever we can't get ourselves out of trouble. And whenever we watch the news or see the headlines, the world around us, the arguments in our own homes, the selfishness in our own hearts, if we're really honest, it's not a stretch to know that we're like sheep. We are prone to go the wrong way, not know what we need, and end up in a mess. And the Savior that God is sending is going to help us, just like a shepherd helps his sheep. And how is this baby described? Because he doesn't stay a baby. He grows up. How does he even describe himself? Josiah actually told us, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." A light had dawned in the neighborhood through the star that was to be a spotlight. The glory of the Lord shone around, but again, to point people to the light that wasn't just for the neighborhood, but for the whole world. Or as the Jesus Story Bible puts it, Sally Lloyd-Jones says, "And now he was here, heaven's son, the maker of the stars, the maker of the stars, a baby sleeping in his mother's arms. This baby would be like that bright shining star shining in the sky that night, a light to light up the whole world, chasing away darkness helping people to see. And the darker the night got, the brighter the star would shine. There's not a lot of people that I know who actually like the darkness. You kind of just cope with the darkness. It's eerie. It's scary. You don't know what's going on. It's why Kevin doesn't like going to the basement and home alone. Another reason why we love lights at Christmas. And the greatest Christmas light is Jesus. He is the light of the whole world. I hate changing the batteries for lights at Christmas. It does my head in. But Jesus is the permanent light, not just of outside along our roof. He's the light of the whole world. Not only that, but Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament. The first two-thirds of the Bible point to him. They talk about him as the light of salvation. He's the light of God. He's the light of the world. If you've seen that film, we saw a picture of it from earlier on, Deck the Halls. There's a guy who wants to have so much light that he's seen from space. That's how many lights he wants on his house. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And so if we follow him, we don't walk in darkness. We aren't lost. We're not groping around in the unknown. Instead, we have the light of life. Now, just as a moon has no light of its own, it's reflecting the light of the sun, so are believers of Jesus to reflect the light of him, so that all can see him in us. And this links to what and one of the other Gospels in Matthew, it says this, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, notice what it says here. It says you are. He's talking to the believers. He's saying you are the light of the world. Not that you can be or that you may be, but you are. So if you follow Jesus here today, you are the light of the world. We don't hide light. It would be a bit pointless to put to all the decorations up and then, you know, chuck a blanket over the tree. It's not what we do. We don't hide it. We show our light. We show our good deeds. And not for our glory, our fame, or our name. We do it so that people may glorify God. And this is why people maybe get confused whenever they see Christians do good things. They think that's the point, that's the purpose. They think that Christianity is about how we live, but it's about Jesus and believing and trusting in him. And he is the light of the world, and he's to motivate us to be the light that he gives us. We point people to him. C.S. Lewis, the guy behind Narnia, said, don't shine so others can see you. Shine so that through you, others can see him. And to him, there's Jesus. And so if you've been invited by a Christian here this morning, or someone sent you the link to check us out here this morning, then please know that it's God using them to be a spotlight to point you to Jesus, the light of the whole world. As a church, we want people to follow Jesus, the ultimate Christmas light. We want people to move from darkness to light, because if you're a Christian, this is what you've experienced in your own life. Darkness isn't a place of its own. It's just the absence of light. And so we want to bring light wherever we can. And so with the darker mornings and the darker evenings, remember John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. In Patricia St. John's classic book, Treasures of the Snow, there's one illustration that's used, and it's the picture. I want you to imagine that we're in this room, there's no windows, okay, like there's shutters down everywhere, and it remains in total darkness. And one of the characters in the book is asked, what happens when the shutters are opened? Does the darkness get out? Well, no, the light comes pouring in. Light and darkness, yeah, they're opposites, but they are not equal. Light always triumphs over darkness. Light always chases the darkness away. And our task is to let the light in. And so we need to open our lives up more and more to the light and love of God so that he can chase away the darkness from within us. We need to bring the light of God's word into our schools, into our homes, around our meals, and let Jesus, the light of the world, shine through us so that he can chase away the darkness of ignorance and oppression and hopelessness and fear from around us. Light always wins. The darkness can never extinguish it. So we seek to shine on. We've seen the starlight. We've seen the starlight in the neighborhood that points to the light of the world. And this light in the world wants to empower all of us to be lights in the world. But there is one final light I want to make you aware of. This is where I need to be able to find it. Let's see. And the point of this light, I'll give you a clue, is that it needs to go out. Anyone tell me what the light is? What is it? It is a candle. This is where the wax is going to burn me. There we go. The purpose of a candle is so that it can be blown out. When do we usually see candles? A birthday, right? We sing happy birthday and we blow the candle out. Now, we're thinking about, you can join in that in just a little second because I have more actions for you all. Whenever you think it's your birthday, we're thinking about a light has dawned in the neighbourhood. Whenever it's your birthday, you invite neighbours or you invite friends around to join in the celebration. And so what of Jesus? Whenever I say you have a parade, it will make sense. Stick with me. This is something that I borrowed from a guy called Bob Hartman. So Merry Christmas, Bob. Whenever I say you have a parade, if you remember the tune from The Music Man, I am the music man, right? You're going to do the trombone bit. So you're going to go, oompa, 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 pa. Right, so you have a parade. don't think I'm getting any better today, but that's fine. So you have a parade, trombone. You find a special place. You click your heels together and say, there's no place like home. Okay? You find a special place. Do you know what we'll do, actually? We'll say there's no place like home and then click your heels, right? Because you're all clicking your heels at different times. So, you find a special place.
There's no place like home.
Lovely. Whenever I say you shoot off fireworks, you're going to go, kaboom! Right? You shoot off fireworks!
Kaboom!
Whenever I say you send out invitations, you're going to have to say, RSVP, please. I mean, as if it's been easy the rest of the day, but let's try this one. You send out invitations.
RSVPs.
Whenever you hear me say, you bring presents, you say, for me.
For me.
You bring presents.
For me.
You throw a party, and this is where Elijah will get to say, you say the first line, and I'll stress this, and I can't stress it enough. You simply say the first line, people. You just go, happy birthday to you. Okay? Not the whole thing. I know it's a red flag to a bull, but please, just the first. You throw a party.
Happy birthday to you.
Brilliant. Let's see if you remember this. Let's go. Okay. What do you do for the birthday of a king? You have a parade. With fancy floats and marching bands and giant bouncing balloons. And Jesus is a king. And there's a parade for his birthday too. A long walk from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. A caravan of people off to pay their taxes, rich and poor, young and old, men and women. And one couple in particular, a man named Joseph and Mary, his pregnant wife. What do you do for the birthday of a king? You have a parade. What do you do for the birthday of a king? You find a special place. Lovely. A ballroom maybe with marble floors and painted ceilings and gold chandeliers. Jesus is a king. And his parents found a special place for his birthday too. There were no ballrooms. The hotel rooms were full. But there was room in an empty stable with a dirt floor, wooden roof, maybe a dangling cobweb or two. But what do you do for the birthday of a king? You find a special place. What do you do for the birthday of a king? You shoot off fireworks. You fill the sky with a rumbling rocket racket. Jesus is king. And there were fireworks at his birthday too. Shooting stars, heavenly hosts, and a great big angel band. What do you do for the birthday of a king? You shoot off fireworks. What do you do for the birthday of a king? You send out invitations. Very good. To dukes and knights and lords and ladies, very important guests. Jesus is king. And there are invitations to his birthday too. You're invited, said the angel, to the shepherds, to a stable in the town of Bethlehem. What do you do for the birthday of a king? You send out invitations.
RSVP.
What do you do for the birthday of a king? You bring presents.
Free.
No. bright and shiny presents, fun and fancy things. No boring things like pants or socks. Jesus is king. And he got presents too. Yes, gold and frankincense and myrrh, but also his father's care, his mother's love, and a very nice set of swaddling cloths, whatever they are. What do you do for the birthday of a king? You bring presents.
For me.
What do you do for the birthday of a king? You throw a party.
Happy birthday to you.
You eat treats, you sing songs, you give gifts, and every member of the royal family is there. Jesus is king. And every year we throw a party for him, a party that goes right around the world. We eat treats, we sing songs, we give gifts, and every member of the royal family is there. What do you do for the birthday of a king? We throw a party.
Happy
And we call it Christmas. Jesus' birth is only the start of the story. Don't let all you know of Jesus be his birth announcement. Read on. Find out how we hear of the good news that he offers. How he talks with people who struggle, who question, who hurt. Meet the Savior that God is convinced that you need to bring real joy, lasting peace. And if you don't have a Bible, let me encourage you to download one onto your phone. If you like a physical Bible and you don't have one, please come and talk to us. And you are welcome. You are warmly invited to join us at church every Sunday. That's what we're about. We want to see more of Jesus. And the next thing that we meet after today is Christmas Day at 10:30, where the kids can bring their toys for a shorter service. And we're going to meet then for another Sunday on the 29th at 10:30. We'll be all together for that service. There'll be activity packs for children, a Sunday club team, getting a well-earned two-week rest. And they might not think about joining with us into the new year, or simply start today by staying for tea and coffee together. This Christmas, as we look around, as we see the twinkly lights, as you see the star on top of the tree, let's remember the starlight, the light that dawned in the neighbourhood, that pointed to Jesus. Jesus, who is the light of the world, not just of our neighbourhood. And Jesus, who passes on this baton to us and says, over to you, you are the lights of the world. And so may this help us be able to celebrate the birth of Jesus this Christmas. Let me pray. Father God, we praise you that you are the one who brings order into chaos, light into the darkness. We thank you for that star, and may the stars on top of our trees, the stars in the sky, even remind us of the light in the neighbourhood as we gaze upon them this Christmas. May it remind us of the spotlight it was to the light of the world. And so help us to join with the wise men in praising and worshipping you. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.